Hello and welcome. I'm Ellen O'Brien. Welcome to this week's Storage Media Group podcast. John Hilliard is here. He's going to take you through the top headlines on all of our storage sites. But before that, we'll talk with Dave Raffo like we do each week. Dave Raffo, our senior news editor, is based in Washington, D.C. Dave, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Dave, we want to jump right in. We had a lot of virtualization news this week. Versto Software Corporation, a small company, made big news when they added VMware support to their storage vert software. Dave, this is a departure for them. They started out with Hyper-V. Why did they end up on VMware? Or better yet, why start with Hyper-V when no one else does?
Yeah, that's a good question. First of all, you know, basically what they do, what their software does is try to improve the performance of storage when it's connected to virtual servers as opposed to physical servers. So, you know, it makes it a little easier to manage and makes the storage run better. They started with Hyper-V, even though VMware has by far greater market share in that space, as everybody knows, for a couple of reasons. I think it was... The main reason they found Microsoft a little easier to work with as far as integrating their software with Hyper-V and with the management tools around Hyper-V. You know, being a small guy, you know, I think they had a little took a little time to get on VMware's radar to develop, and they so they did a first for Hyper-V and kind of proved themselves a little, and then came back to VMware, and, you know, now they will work with VMware, and I think, you know, they're expecting that to give them a pretty good bump in sales, as it certainly widens the universe of customers who can use them. Now, they do have some Hyper-V customers, and they do have people who have been using the VMware product in beta and now are running it in production, but this will certainly give them a lot greater sales opportunity. And, you know, if the product works as advertised, there's probably a pretty good market there. And, you know, we do see a few others out there, and I'm sure we will be seeing a lot more of these types of products. And the storage vendors themselves will be working to make their storage easier to manage and perform better with VMware. Almost everybody in the storage business is scrambling to work with VMware to solve these types of problems. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, Versto has a leg up as far as being out before a lot of people. So we'll see if they can turn that into any kind of a success rate.
Yeah, they're talking about it increasing I/O performance on virtual machines by 10 times. Did you talk with any users who either believe that or are seeing that?
Yes, I did talk to an administrator from San Diego State University, Kyle Murley, who did say he got over 9%. At the very least, some tests a little more, but on average, he said he is getting over 9% of performance in his. He's running it. He has been testing it for a couple of months and is running it about on half of his production systems and we'll move the rest over. So, so far, so good.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on it. And Atlantis Ilio Diskless boots VDI faster. That was one of our headlines. That means that Atlantis Computing has released its Ilio Diskless VDI product, uses RAM instead of disk drives to boot up images. Dave, talk to me about what that means and why using memory in place of disk drive could be important.
Well, it doesn't say, you know, it gets the boot faster because it's bringing it out of memory instead of pulling it off disk. But this is for non-persistent data, which is data that really doesn't change. It doesn't have to retain data. Like every time the system shuts down, it kind of like wipes this data out and starts over when it boots again. So it will work faster with that type of data. You do still need disk to store persistent data, like when you make changes to find, you know, any types of files that change or any information that changes from one VDI boot up to the next still needs to be stored on a SAN or a NAS. So probably not completely diskless, but it should work better with some data, which will speed the boot up times. I think that's probably the biggest advantage here.
All right, so when we say diskless VDI, we should be careful. It's not really diskless, but just for non-persistent data.
Correct. So it's probably uses less disk overall and diskless for persistent. But I guess they figured that the name of the product was long enough, so they don't want to call it diskless for persistent data VDIs.
Dave, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk with you next week. And now we're going to go to John Hilliard, who's going to talk about this week's top headlines. John, I heard you have an interesting video to talk to us about. Brian Posey is featured. What's he talking about?
Thanks, Alan. Yeah, we have a great video from Brian. He's a frequent searchstorage.com contributor, and he'll be walking folks through the process of booting from iSCSI in Windows. But first, let me show you some of the great headlines we have from the newsroom that we've pulled together this week.
Thanks so much, John.
First up is from searchstorage.com, where they're reporting that the number of cloud certifications is growing. This is a trend caused partly by vendors who are hoping to advance this technology and by IT professionals who are trying to better understand the technology and how to use it for their organizations. For example, EMC Corp's Educational Services Division has developed a Cloud Architect Certification course, which premiered in spring 2011 and already has had 3,000 enrollments. They've since added two more cloud courses to their curriculum. Gene Ruth, a research director at the Stanford, Connecticut-based Gartner Incorporated, tells Search Storage that there is a shortage of skilled technologists who understand cloud, and that, quote, "These folks are in short supply because everyone is on a learning curve. I think anyone who can stand up and say, I'm a certified cloud technologist, is definitely going to be sought after by IT organizations." And Ancestry.com has adopted Isilon, BlueArc Scale-Out Network Attached Storage. And Ancestry.com is reportedly adopted the network attached storage offerings of Isilon Systems Incorporated and BlueArc Corp. And Ancestry.com has reportedly adopted Isilon and BlueArc scale-out network-attached storage for its mountains of data. The Provo, Utah-based Ancestry.com includes now 7 billion records from 1.7 million subscribers gathered in the last 15 years. Now, the company stores about 30 terabytes in its older model NetApp systems and now has 3.8 petabytes of photographs, documented images, and other file data in Isilon's X-Series scale-out NAS and 140 terabytes of performance-sensitive data in BlueArc's Titan 3000 series. Ancestry also has 1.3 petabytes of block data in storage era network systems that were acquired from other vendors. And our IT Knowledge Exchange blog is reporting that Symantec Corp plans to use its newly acquired LiveOffice cloud archiving service to provide users with better search and data analysis capabilities for legal documents stored in the cloud. Symantec announced that it acquired LiveOffice for $115 million, a transaction that was completed on January 13th and now gives Symantec an in-house cloud-based archiving tool for legal documents, email, file sharing services, and communications on social media sites such as Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. They've had an OEM relationship since 2010, and the archiving service was rebranded as Enterprise Vault.cloud in April 2011. And in other storage news, EMC has finally given Project Lightning a name. Now, this is their PCIe solid-state flash product they're hoping to get out the door by the end of 2011. That didn't happen, but now there's been a trademark filing that indicates the name of this product will end up being VF Cache. According to the trademark filing that's been quoted by IT Knowledge Exchange, the description is for a, quote, "computer hardware, namely data caching devices, including flash memory devices and computer software for data storage and data management." Now, Project Lightning had been previewed in May, and beta had been released later in the year. IT Knowledge Exchange notes that really the only questions left are which partners, if any, EMC will use the project. VF Cache is expected to work with EMC's fast tiering software, but it's unclear whose PCIe flash EMC will end up using. And finally, we have kind of excited about this one. We have a video from our frequent searchstorage.com contributor, Brian Posey. He's going to give us a how-to on walking us through setting up a boot from iSCSI in Windows 8. So we're going to run a brief excerpt right now.
So how does iSCSI booting work? Well, if you're familiar with Windows Server 2008, you know that it comes with an iSCSI initiator, but there isn't an iSCSI target component. For that, you need to download an optional component or use Windows Storage Server. But all this has changed in Windows Server 8. Now, we've got this component within Server Manager. I've got the file services installed. And you'll notice we've got this component, the iSCSI Virtual Disks. I'm going to go ahead and click on that. And you'll notice that we have the ability to create iSCSI Virtual Disks or iSCSI Targets. Actually, we can do both at the same time through a single wizard. But the point being that now it's possible to create an iSCSI Target directly through Windows Server 8.
And for the full video and for more information on any stories that we've included in this podcast, visit searchstorage.com. I'm John Hilliard, and thanks for listening.